Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am so excited that you've joined us here for the Extra Hour. Joining me to encourage you this morning on VFN Radio is the producer of VFN TV and VFN Radio program, who was trained up at an early age about 5 minutes ago, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining us this morning, because John's alarm still didn't go off this morning. A little technical difficulties. Appreciate your prayers in that area. But Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sons of Thunder. Give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. We're so excited about everybody joining us. A big shout out to Stacy this morning. A shout out to Sharon. Good morning, Sharon in Colorado. Good morning, Brett. Good morning, Jordan, in the Florida Panhandle. Good morning, Crystal, in the Bronx. We have a big shout out to, and hello to Peter. Peter, you're such an encourager. I'm excited about what's taking place. Hello, Craig. Working on the island. What a life. What a life. Good morning, Gina. Good morning. Good morning. With a shout out this morning to Virginia. Good morning, Nicole. Also, we'll give a shout out this morning to New Jersey, to Elijah and Isaiah. Good morning. I was just showing off your cool-looking pictures in a nice tux and a red tie. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you to find out not only the news, but what to do with the news you know, and have a few laughs this morning, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Here we are, man. We're moving in the Extra Hour. I wish we, you know, we could put more in to our time, but, you know, we're just going to, this is a conversation. And what's so cool about the conversation is that it's available for you and your friends on the VFN Torch or on your applications or at VFNTV.com, that you can go back and listen to segments or share with others. So it's not like, you know, we share about something and you missed it and you may never hear it again. We may talk about it in 10 years. We make sure it's available for you. We call those highlights, but they're available for you, broken down segments where you can hear just a part of a segment. And, we put those on the VFN Torch. You go to it at VFNTV.com. You also can see them, like us on Facebook. Go to our Facebook, which you can go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook and our Twitter accounts there and just like us. And when you like us, we're connected. And so these, you just automatically get these updates that come to you about what's happening with the segments. But you can also prescribe to the feed on the VFN Torch. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see an arrow kind of pointing to the right and just kind of hover over there and something pops out. Can't explain it, just pops out. And it says, subscribe. It says subscribe. And when you do that and you click on one more thing, it will automatically, every single highlight, listen to this, every single highlight that happened that day or that's happening on VFN Radio and VFN TV goes into your, it goes right into your email, right?
Yep.
And so it just, it'll sit there wait for you, which means you don't have to be online. No matter where you're at, you can just read them and listen to the segments that are going on. And in the highlights, when you're looking at the VFN Torch, or you'll see some descriptions about what's going on. But what we're talking about is some things that you would hear when you listen to the segment. So to get the fullness of what's going on is not just reading it, but also just listen to the segment. Mm-hmm. It's broken up. So that's the VFN Torch. Also on your application, go to highlights and at VFNTV.com. For those that have been talking about, you know, more description about what happened in that particular program that day, coming really soon to the VFN TV app is descriptions for the program. So not only will you see the program, but you will see what took place on that day. And you're like, oh, man, I want to hear this, you know. And or you can break it down in the second. It's just really neat. It's available. It's being heard all around the world. I was looking at one particular segment that is being shared with all of our audience, our virtual stadium. that over 140,000 people are, you know, being exposed to that one particular segment. It's just exciting. I mean, what stadium other than maybe the Dallas Cowboys stadium, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it probably is a whole 150,000.
No, it's about 100,000.
I mean, now, what's the population of your city? I mean, mm-hmm. look what we're able to do for the Lord. So thank you to everybody who's standing with us to help fill the virtual stadium. You'll hear more about that even in this hour. Now, tomorrow, Friday, by God's grace, we've been kind of formulating this conversation, is we're going to be talking about a very, very important topic. Did you know that statistics say right now that 20, it's called the 2050,
mm-hmm.
20% of Christian women are addicted to internet pornography.
Wow.
And 50% of Christian men are addicted to internet pornography, the statistics say. Tomorrow we're going to bring you some insight on that, and I believe it's going to inform you. We're going to get educated on the reality of what's going on, of course, but then we're going to shine the light of God's word on it. But then we're going to inspire you, realize, you know, we're going to talk about the reality that it's not about what many people have said it's about. It's about taking your ring. It's about taking your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, and principalities, which means this. You got to have a body to have authority in this world,
mm-hmm.
on this earth. And so Satan can have no authority unless someone gives it to him. We have to intentionally give it to him or be deceived in giving him our life, you know, mm-hmm. and bowing down to what he wants. Paul said to Timothy, they're held captive to do his will. Satan holds them captive to do his will, so gently instruct them. And so when you find out, you're going to be really encouraged as you hear some testimonies about a musician and an artist and some of the statistics and some realities. Listen, no matter what anybody's told you, that nothing has come upon you or your loved ones, it's not common to man. And it's just the enemy's taking things and he's twisting things and locking things down and telling you there's no way out. Well, there's a way out. God could shake your prison and the jail cell could fly open just like it did with Peter and you could be free. And I believe a lot of people are going to be free. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the statistics are amazing, but the goal of the enemy is to get you powerless. So all of a sudden you surrender your authority over to the adversary, and then he begins to take over your family and your business and your finance and all these different things. And it's just amazing. It's amazing some of the statistics. We're going to talk about also how many children, it's like 4 out of 5 teenagers every single day are seeing things, something of that nature. We'll talk more about the actual statistics tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just everywhere. And it's an attempt of the adversary, amongst all the other things taking place, is to take you down,
yeah.
to take your loved one down. And we would partner with Satan if we don't understand that we got to be there for them and not against them, that God loves that person, and they can be set free, and we got to give them a perspective of what's really going on. And when you find out what's really going to go on, I can't think of a better word than this, you're going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, you know what? I'm getting my authority back. I'm getting my keys back. I am not going to let the enemy take me down anymore. There's hope. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm telling you, there's an empowerment that comes by the truth of God's word. And, you know, as we talked about in the first hour, you know, no man's righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he that's without sin cast the first stone. But understand, there's a huge strategy in a lot of different peripheral ways. But one of those ways is through constant exposure to imagery that produces wrongful thoughts in your heart and bondages in your life. And we're going to talk about that, that God understands the human nature,
mm-hmm.
and he understood it before you were born, and he can redeem it. He can redeem it and change things in your life. And it's going to be very encouraging. So tomorrow's, don't miss tomorrow's program. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful program. You want to listen to it to yourself before you share it with somebody. You're like, hey, I want to send this to you.
Yeah, all right.
Is there a reason why you're sending this to me?
Yeah, right.
And hopefully it's going to give you encouragement and give you a tenacity to say no. And then we're going to give you some ways that you can take some practical steps to live a life, you know, free from that, or help others live a life free from that. Well, the presidential debates for the first debate was last night in Denver, Colorado, right?
Yeah, sure was.
At Colorado University in Colorado. And watched him last night with, you know, great anticipation. And I think what happened last night when I was watching them, that I saw some clear contrast between the two candidates. You know, sometimes it's so blurry and they seem like the same thing.
Right.
But I saw a clear contrast between the two, which is really cool. That'll help, you know, America make a clear decision.
Right.
And we can make a clear choice. But so much more weighs in the balance than just, you know, it's our hope is not in a man or a woman. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And the huge question that's before us right now, it's before the church, that we need to make a decision. We need to make a decision, you know, for God to follow his ways. And I want you to hear this, although this was a segment that was recorded sometime back about 90 days prior to today, or about 60 days ago, to let you know, because you're going to hear, you know, do something for 90 days, but you're going to find out that 33, you know, million conservatives say that they're registered, think that they're registered to vote, and they're not even registered to vote. They're not even registered to vote. And listen, most elections you're going to find out are won by very small margins, very small margins. And so listen up and say, you know what? I want to be able to fight. And this is the way we fight. We fight by getting educated in who's running for office. We find out their values. We fight by getting registered to vote. We fight by praying and seeking the Lord and inquiring of him who he's leading us to be able to vote for, and compare their values to what God says about how things should be, not just their profession, but their fruit, and see, you know, how God wants you to vote. But listen up. We're going to talk about, you know, God's news behind the news, and we're going to talk about, you know, voting. You know, we're not going to tell you, obviously, you know, who to vote for. It's for you to be able, as an American citizen, to educate yourself and find out who that is. We always say, though, spend 90 days abiding with God. You know, spend time with God. You know, right. Get his heart. You know, and if you know, if you need to abide with him, I mean, and it's very specific. You know, be very specific in how you abide with him. You know, if you need a plan, and most people want to, they just need a plan. Go to iabide.org, and you'll instantly have access to a plan. Just request it, and everything you need. And spend time with God, and find out what God's heart. Make this year different than any other year, because first, you're going to abide with God about your choice of a leader. Secondly, get educated on the leader.
Right.
You get educated on the leader. And thirdly, you can't not fight a war without a gun, right? You can't fight a war without a gun. You cannot vote unless you're registered to vote.
Right.
You know, and many people gave their lives for us to have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. But we can't vote. It's just, you know, so you need to register to vote. And I talked about that, I believe, last week. But I just want to tell you this a little bit more, you know, some understandings about being registered to vote that, you know, 20 to 30% of all conservative groups in America,
right?
20 to 30% are not registered to vote.
Oh,
20 to 30%. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
Really? I don't think if you're not registered to vote, why are you even having an opinion about this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can't. It's like you can't fight a war without a gun, and you cannot change or pick leaders that God lays on your heart unless you actually you've been registered to vote. You can register, but you don't have to fight to go do it. You don't have, I mean, people had to go through a lot of things to vote in the past. You look at Iraq, you know, when they had their first vote, that they walked in with their fingerprint and they put it down. That was a huge thing. I mean, death, and a lot of our soldiers died to be able to give them the right to vote, you know, and, but 20 to 30% of all conservative groups are not 20 to 30% are not registered to vote.
Amazing.
Isn't that something in America? And 14% of all Americans, of all the Americans, right? 14% of them believe that they're registered, but they're not. Right?
Really?
Yeah. That's 33 million people who could show up at the polls and totally determine where this country's going to go next.
Wow.
Yeah, we just, oh my goodness, wake us up, oh God, right? I mean, if the Christians would just spend time with God first, don't vote your pocketbook or your wallet,
right?
But vote Jesus. You know, vote how God would want you to vote, and all your leaders, whoever they are, I'm not saying who they are,
mm-hmm.
and this whole nation would just go that direction.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about this, that in the year 2000, we had a president then. His name was President Bush, George Bush, George W. Mm-hmm. He was the son of George.
Right.
And not the son of George Washington, but anyway. So Florida was like the clincher state. You know, they counted everything. Remember the hang-in Chad thing and all that kind of stuff.
Crazy.
And so they were counting the votes, you know, and it was between him and
Gore.
Oh, that's right. And Gore and Vice President Gore. And they were actually, it was very close. And when they've counted all the votes, it was 537 votes.
Wow.
They gave him Florida and they gave him the presidency. 537. Let's back up a little bit. Nope, let's go a little bit further. In 2008, President Obama, he wins, which is our president now, mm-hmm. he wins North Carolina by 13,692 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 0.32% of North Carolina. It's such a small margin that are determining who's going to be our leader or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you think about Indiana. You know, President Obama won it by 26,163 votes. That's only 1% of the vote there.
Wow.
And this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to register to vote. You're an American, whoever you are, whatever party you are. And you need to read, say, I just want to, you know, my mama was a, and my dad was a, therefore I am a, you know. And mm-hmm. you find out, well, your past three people, you know, didn't ever read what the platforms were. So just every political party has a platform, so just read it.
Mm-hmm.
Read the political platform, what they stand for. And they'll tell you how they stand on abortion. They'll say how they stand on civil rights, how they stand on economy. And they develop a whole platform about this is our vision for our party.
Right.
And so then you just pick whatever, you know, that's how you got to, because you got to pick something, you know,
mm-hmm.
or be an independent, I think, as it is. I don't know, they'll tell you. But if that small 537 votes determined a presidency, that means President Gore was 537 votes away from being the president.
Right.
537. That's like, you know, he could have been the president if more people, if 538 people would have voted.
That's right.
Isn't that wild? That's amazing how close it is. But what does that say about the 20 to 30% of all conservative organizations who are not even registered to vote? Mm-hmm. They're actually determined who is our leaders, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because if they would have registered to vote, all these 1%ers and these 2.32% and this 537 votes, that probably would have been more of a, you know, conservative viewpoint and value viewpoint winner, wouldn't it?
Right.
And then you think about that if 33 million people who think they are registered, you know, are not, then they determine who's going to be the next leader. Because these are the ones that will show up at the polls to vote, and they'll find out their name's not on the roster because they feel that they are, but they find out when the poll worker's there, the poll worker's looking at them, they're trying to probably save their face, sir. You know, you're not registered. Your name would be here if you're registered.
Right.
And so you can just do some simple things this morning. You know, I want to encourage you. You know, people have died and paid a huge price for you to be able to vote. And a ministry called Wall Builders that we talk about, wallbuilders.org, they totally have a whole website set up to be able to help us and whoever you are. Find out if you're registered, if you're part of the 33 million people who think you are, but if you got really questions, you really don't know if you are, then you can go to wallbuilders.com/vote, or just go to wallbuilders.com and click on vote 2012. And the question it asks you is, are you registered to vote? You just put in your first and last name, your city, state, and zip, and you push a button called search, and it will let you know if you're registered or not. And if you're not registered, it will actually direct you immediately to a place that you can actually register to vote right there online. It just takes a couple of moments. 33 million people could register to vote right now if you just go to wallbuilders.com. Wallbuilders.com/vote, or just go to wallbuilders.com and find out. You know, just do it privately because you don't want anybody to know that you were telling them you were and you're not, right?
Right.
And if the 20 to 30% of all conservative organizations would go to wallbuilders.com, /vote. You know, find out, you know, if you're not, go ahead and register. What does that mean? That means that these people that are going to register, whoever they are and whatever their persuasion is, will determine who's going to be the leaders, the school board, county commissioners, governors, presidents, senators, representatives, all the way across the land, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'll actually determine it.
Right.
But after you register to vote, again, I go back to spend 90 days abiding with God. You know, get in rhythm with God's voice. You know, hang out with people that have your value system. Get educated on the people that are running for office. And they have a right to answer. They have an obligation to answer your question, because you're actually saying to them that I'm thinking about allowing you to be a leader of our school board, of our county commission, or of our city council, or our governor, or state congress, or senate, or, you know, all the way. You're allowing them. So you need to get educated on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they lie to you, you know, God will actually see that. But at least ask them. You know, don't be intimidated, because, you know, I think God's really going to hold us accountable, you know, as American citizens, because we're the ones that choose our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just a product of what we've done or what we haven't done.
Right.
And so you can actually do that today at wallbuilders.org, wallbuilders.com, it's wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com/vote. I think .org takes you there as well, too, but just to let you know. So get active, you know. We want you to be activated. We want you to be praying, seeking God, and we're going to believe God that in the next 4 years after November, that God's going to give us mercy and grace, and across the whole country, we're going to have leaders who agree with our value system, who loves God, who agrees with the Constitution, and they agree to uphold the Constitution. You know, and I'm going to read you the pledge probably next week that all of our elected officials pledge, but it boils down to they promise to defend United States Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which means there could be enemies in our country that are against our Constitution, which says all of our liberties come from God. You know, how could you deny where our liberties come from, right?
Right, exactly.
And the First Amendment allows us to have VFN radio, mm-hmm. you know, and allows us to have VFN TV. It allows us to be able to speak freely and to worship God ever how we feel led to be able to worship God, where Congress cannot make any laws concerning the church or religion, mm-hmm. you know, and the right to gather. You know, it's really important. People think we take that for granted, but just President Putin, mm-hmm. you know, over in Russia just yesterday or this last week, he made a law that you cannot legally gather anymore. It's against the law to assemble publicly, you know, and that's what the First Amendment says. The First Amendment says that we can worship God freely. Mm-hmm. We have the right to assemble.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Isn't that important?
Yeah.
And the next is what? We have the right to bear arms.
Right.
And when we lose the First and Second Amendment, it's going to be a different world, a totally different world. So I just want to encourage you this morning that go to wallbuilders.com, and just check and see if you are registered or if you're not. And then go ahead and do it to it and get ready to determine who our next leader is going to be in our country. We'll be right back. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men. As they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got
mm-hmm.
back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFNTV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the daily VFN radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
You too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for, though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Man, that is so important. 33 million conservatives feel that they are registered to vote and are not, which means you're probably joining in with all these conversations. You're probably talking to other people saying, you need to register. You know, and you're probably talking to your kids going, you know, I can't believe you need to register. And you're going to find out that you're not registered.
Mm-hmm.
And you will determine who our next governor will be in your state. You'll determine who's the next school board person. This 33 million Christian conservatives or conservatives will determine who our next president is. Because if you don't register, that's a determination. That means 33 million votes will not go to one particular candidate or another.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing how close that each of these elections have been?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Florida was won by a few votes and North Carolina a percentage point, and yeah. It's like, man, what amazing wisdom God gave our founding fathers as they crafted a constitution that would give everybody a chance to be able to participate in democracy and a republic form of government, a representative form of government.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, you know, if we're going to want to keep this government, we're going to have to participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have anybody just say, hey, just send me a text, send me the highlights, send me some bullet points.
Right.
Bullet points in losing a democracy are not what you think they are.
Right.
It's actually bullets. So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap
your mama.
We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slap your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. Not something
you
do.
Oh, saying. Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that one. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day we were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's
from
ribs.
He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. They don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does Slap Your Mama taste
it's
like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really? Is it, does
you,
it leave?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of
sauce. Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom says anything. He seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well.
It's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read that. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady. Well, you know, as we were talking about earlier with, you know, what's taking place in our nation and, you know, how do we need to participate in being part of a representative government, we need to be aware that our hope is always in Jesus Christ. So when we think about it, you know, before we cover the wisdom moment, Jesus was not going, oh, it seems like we have a conservative king. It seems like we have a liberal king. Moses wasn't concerned about, you know, Pharaoh's politics. And, you know, Paul wasn't concerned about, you know, each city he went to, he wasn't getting all into the, you know, the politics and per se, and there's nothing wrong with being, politics is how we choose our leaders in that. But no matter what happens politically, that God's king, Jesus, is always king, and his kingdom always stands. Mm-hmm. And men's kingdoms will rise for a season, and they will fall for a season. And but his kingdom's forever. And, you know, we should not put our hope in political decisions or definitely not political parties, but we should participate in the process. But your hope should not be in the process. Your hope should be in Jesus Christ. It should be in Jesus Christ. I mean, you think Joseph, when Joseph was in slavery because his brothers sold him out, when he shared what God said to him, be careful when you share what God said. Yeah. Your brothers might be, not, you know what I'm saying? I think I'm in a pit right now. I'm not sure. I'm a slaver. You think that they were concerned about he was concerned about the political party of Potiphar? I don't know. I'm a slave. I'm a slave of a conservative or a liberal person. No, he's like, I'm a slave. It doesn't matter what, you know, Emmett, think about it.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the church begins to put their trust in some sort of political party and all. And it's like, you know, we should participate in the process. We should, you know, get to know the candidates. But put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. And don't go, oh, everything's all over because somebody won your school board or you have a certain governor or some certain presidential candidate made it or didn't make it or whatever. Realize you did your best and you trust God with the rest, you know. And inform, be informed, pray, and don't just sit passively back. But don't put your hope in men. The Lord just really, really laid on my heart, and we'll hopefully have time to share next week, that it's not about what you think it is. I believe that America's coming to a crossroads, and politics are not going to resolve this issue. And the issue is, of course, always if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from my wicked, their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. I'll heal America. And so the things that we're seeing take place is happening to America because God's people, not all of God's people, but a lot of God's people are in rebellion. Mm-hmm. They're resisting what God's wanting. And we have wicked ways that we just accepted as normal. And once we accept a wicked way as normal, it's called bondage. We're held in bondage by it at that point. And so understand that when you go back and look in the highlights, you'll see a particular highlight. And on the Beef and Torch, it says, you know, men still want to rule the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on. You have players right now that are in the global atmosphere of wanting to rule the world. They want to rule the economy. They want to, supposedly, according to Perry Stone, three people have over $3 trillion in the economies.
Wow.
And they can just move that anywhere they want to and determine whether the economy will stand or fall. We should have never tie our money. You never tie your value, your wealth, and everything, and your freedom to how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
Tie it to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if God gives you abundance, celebrate it. If you're going through a time of lack, don't lose your faith in God. Don't serve God beyond the provision. You know, John Bevere writes about that in The Fear of the Lord, that he's easier to read. Anyway, but he talks about, you know, many people just serve God until the provision runs out.
Yeah.
And when the provision runs out, that's a time of testing. Were you serving God because of the blessing and the provision, or were you serving God because you love God? And many people right now, with, I don't know, 23 million unemployed people in America, plus more than that, because a lot of underemployed. Unemployed means this. You have a $100 bill, $100 worth of bills, but $50 worth of income.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not working hard. You could be working 40, 50 hours a week, but the amount of money you're getting paid doesn't cover your expenses to live. Therefore, you're underemployed. Mm-hmm. Or you can only work part-time. They won't take you on full-time. So it's just not good. And it looks like America, we're going to be the church in America is about to be tested. Do we serve him beyond provision?
Right.
Do we serve him beyond all of our comfort and convenience? And so put your, it's not what, I really believe this, you know, I hope I'm, you know, every man, we hear in part and we prophesy in part. But I can't help to tell you that it's been very loud to me, very specific, that we haven't seen nothing yet. And the ones that are wanting to rule the world, you know, rule the economies and that type of thing, is they're behind the scenes. And if they can shift this money around, then they can, you know, if China was to pull out their money, cash in their American bonds,
mm-hmm.
then the economy would fall. You think about it. And so that's how fragile things are in regards to where our economies. Well, they're trying to ease everything down. They're easing, as George Soros said, you know, that the euro is gone, the European economy is gone, and we're just trying to ease it down.
Mm-hmm.
Ease it down. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And he said this, you know, I heard him say it. It's not alleged. I heard him say it. And I don't have those same specifics about, and George Soros is one of those men, allegedly, that Perry talks about, that has part of those trillions of dollars. But understand that America's being eased down, you know, because you want the people to be able to follow you in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that that people are brought into captivities, you just start giving them everything that they would want, understanding at one moment it's just going to be cut off.
Right.
Because you can't afford it. And everybody is just like, yeah, it won't give me, take me out, give me a phone, give me this, give me that. It's like, you're buying into it. It's not going to, you know, democracies last as long until, they said that, until people find out they can vote themselves wealth from the national treasury. In other words, I can vote somebody in office who will give me money that comes from somebody else that I didn't earn.
Right.
You know? And so, no matter who is the president, for example, in January, huge austerity measures, which means cutting huge expenses across the board is coming in January. Well, you have all these people now that have gotten addicted, that because they're giving everything that they can imagine to people who will, you know, buy into the concept, and they're going to be just cut off. And what he does, he has a system, and hopefully we'll make this available, you know, on the VFN torch. But George Soros was talking about our economy, and he has a certain methodology he uses, and he's done it to other nations, but definitely one particular nation, allegedly. And he bets against the economy. He bets against their money. And when their money falls, because he pulls a few strings, allegedly, then he makes this huge amount of money off of it. He bets against a nation's currency. When you start seeing these people bet against our currency and the dollar, which is that shift is going to take place, then you're looking at, you know, moments away and it crashing and then rebooting again before a period of time. If you haven't yet went to VFN TV and began to watch these prophetic teachings, you need to hear them.
Yeah.
And you go to VFNTV.com and watch, you know, these specific things, including prudent preparation. You need to be prepared for what's going on. But there's a certain plan that he uses to be able to take a nation down. And one of the things that he does, or that they do allegedly, is that they create an election that there's so much tension in it, that everybody's so divided that they don't have confidence in the outcome of it. And they create this, oh, it was rigged, or, you know, and all of a sudden the whole nation gets in an uproar. And it's like everybody's been turned against everybody. It's crazy that everything that can be divided has been divided. And Jesus Christ, who said nothing and did nothing, unless he heard the Father say it or did it, said this: anything divided, including a nation, will not stand. Everything is being divided. And we're allowing them to divide our nation in all these different factions and stuff. And the thing is, as long as you'll take, you know, what Jezebel is going to offer you, you know, and that you're not willing to let go of it at any moment, then you'll be divided. And with that, what I'm sensing in my spirit is that that's where we're headed to. So people are saying, yo, in 30 days, we'll resolve all this at the polls. Resolve what? As a manna answer? Really? Do you not know that when Josiah cried out to God, God heard him and answered, but he said, listen, Josiah, I'm still going to put some set men in place, and I'm going to let everybody know that I'm just. Because who followed Josiah was Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. And those were set men by God, because God was going to deal with his people.
Right.
And so, based on what we're hearing, and we prayed and fasted for, you know, 7 days, and God began to show us in multidimensional ways from all the ones that were praying and fasting different things. And I believe that one of the big things he's showing us is there's just going to be this huge spirit of rebellion, and whether people are wearing a mask or not, whether you call it Occupy Wall Street or not, there's going to just be this big, you know, things in the street where people are just totally upset. I mean, if you quit giving people phones, if you quit paying for things for people, I mean, and they're depending, some people are depending on it to eat, and, you know, and that you quit that, and you never taught anybody how to live, you never taught them how to work, you never taught them how to grow stuff. I mean, I don't know how to grow stuff. Yeah, I don't know how to grow stuff. I work in the garden of God and work with, you know, growing harvest in people's hearts. But I surround myself with people who have those talents and have that time to be able to teach me, but also learn from them and how to grow. We need to learn how to live life again and how to think. Listen, think for yourself, please. Start practicing thinking for yourself. You know, pull out a deck of cards and play solitaire.
Yeah.
Nobody around you, no electronics, and just watch yourself when you're playing that. You know, are you thinking, is it overwhelming to you? Is it boring to you when you're thinking instead of a machine thinking for you? You know, some people have never played solitaire, for example, with a deck of cards. They've only played it electronically.
All right.
But you got to begin to do things that you use your mind again. You got, even though you can pull Google Maps out or, you know, whatever's out there electronically, which is cool, that, you know, pull a paper map out and begin to look at a paper map and just say, you know, it used to be a lot of fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figuring your route out and what you're doing, where you're going to stop. And now it's like, you know, they make you respond in a way where they give you so much information that you can almost think that they can convince you that you're all knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, no, they gathered a lot of data. They shared it with you. They're tracking with you. Those two things merge, and they're letting you in on what they know. You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know nothing if you're depending on that.
Right.
So I want to encourage you, begin to think for yourself. If you see something on the news, if you hear something on VFN radio or watch something on VFN TV, you know, check it out. Go in the Word of God. Find out for yourself. Verify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trust but verify, as President Reagan said. You know, Pharaoh, get involved in finding things out. If you hear something about a particular candidate that's running for office because you heard a 30-second, $10 million commercial, you know, don't just buy into it. There's a reason why they wrote that commercial, is to get you not to think and just to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if it's true. You may never be able to find out, but just put something. Don't just go, yeah, I saw a commercial, and this person, you know, it's like, come on. That was a campaign. Think for yourself. When you see these things happening, you need to be abiding with God and learning how to hear God and to walk with the Lord. Think for yourself. I know this sounds funny when you think about it, but the truth is, people don't really think anymore. They just kind of stare at a television. They stare at a computer. Mm-hmm. They don't go to God. They go to Google.
Right.
They don't pray about something. Hey, I'm gonna ask God about this. They go, let me go Google it and see.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go Google it and see. Let me go Google it and see. Let me go Google it and see. It's like,
yeah.
It used to be spelled G-O-D.
Yeah.
And now it's G-O-O-G-L-E. And it's like, you got to learn to start going to God again. You Google, it's nice to kind of have some information and that type of thing, but learn to think. Just practice thinking. I mean, don't start real big if you hadn't thought in a while. You know what I'm saying?
You might hurt yourself.
You might hurt yourself. Like I said, pull out a deck of cards, you know, if you don't believe that's sin. and start playing solitaire. Start real easy. And then pull out a paper map and say, you know what, we're going to go somewhere, and we're going to map it out on paper. And leave all your devices behind. Turn off your cell phones 10 minutes at a time. Take a deep breath, look around, and then turn it back on again.
Mm-hmm.
And then build yourself up maybe like, I don't know, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And just practice, you know, maybe going to bed at night and all your electronics are off, everything's off, and it's quiet. You and God. So you can think. So you can hear God.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage you. We're going to talk more about that. But to begin to think again, we need to think, because things are happening right now and the church is not thinking. They're quiet. It's like the church is in a vacuum. And it's the common man. I mean, even, you know, Bubba can look at this thing and know what's going on if he's thinking. But it's like the church, it doesn't seem like the church is thinking much. You know, there are some, you know, that are thinking, but the majority of the church is just quiet. And I was talking to a man recently, and I'm going to miss the wisdom moment, so I'm not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But listen, if you are a leader of God's people, you need to prepare them. You have a responsibility, as you call yourself a leader of God's people, to prepare them. Some things are about to happen on the face of the earth. And if you are leading them, you need to prepare them. You're not going to have enough resources to be able to take care of them, what's about to happen. But if you prepare them, they can prepare themselves. But if you're not telling them, how are they going to know?
Right.
I mean, how are they going to know if you do not tell them? Well, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. It reads, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked, those who choose to stay in sin, is like deep darkness. They do not even know what makes them stumble. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful. Listen to this. There's nothing more beautiful than watching a sunrise. I remember when Donna, myself, and the children were in the Grand Canyon, where everyone just kind of stood on the edge of the canyon early in the morning hours as we're watching the dawn of the morning, the sun rising, and all the beautiful colors of the Grand Canyon were reflecting as the sun hit it. And it was just this awe moment, you know, like the awe moment that became imprinted on our hearts and our minds. All that gathered stood in silence, only to whisper quietly if they felt they needed to talk, because its beauty seemingly had a voice that was speaking to each of us, saying, shh, this is a special moment, and words must not be spoken. The sun moved slowly higher and higher, and as we silently watched, it got brighter and brighter until once we stood in darkness, now we were suddenly in the full light of the day. It was just a beautiful moment, an awe moment. This is what it's like for those who choose to walk rightly before the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, walking obediently in the light of His Word, in view of His mercy, and because of His grace, your life just gets brighter and brighter. It's sort of like the moon reflects the sun. Well, you think about it, we reflect the S-O-N, the light of God's glory in our life. Less of us, more of Him, all of a sudden it becomes all about Him and not about us. It's totally opposite for those who choose to walk in darkness. It's anything but silent or respectful. And definitely there's no awe moments in sight. Most of the moments around them, these experiences, they're more like ouch instead of awes. Those who choose to walk in darkness, those who choose to walk outside the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ, who choose to walk openly in sin and not make Jesus the Lord of their life, their lives get darker and darker and darker. It's amazing how you can see someone's beginning this journey of rebellion towards God, maybe a rebellious teenager, a rebellious man, a rebellious woman, when they first decide to go in this way of their life, declaring openly or silently in their heart, I'm not going to live for God, but myself. At first, it seems like they look like everyone else. But as they continue to walk in darkness, they begin to morph, if you would, morph into some like worn, tattered, scarred existence. Though they are possibly young, they look like they've already lived a full life. And now are living on borrowed time. They may have physical cuts and bruises as well as emotional cuts and bruises because of the darkness they've chosen to walk in. It blinds them because they can't see. Paul says their minds are blinded by the god of this world, blinded by Satan, the darkness they chose to walk in. Realize there's something worse than blinded eyes. It's a blinded mind that can't see. It's someone thinking they see clearly when they don't understand that they're blinded by their choices and that's what's causing so much pain in their life. Because of all this darkness and this blind mind, it makes them stumble, but they can't see why. They can't see what's causing them to stumble. They typically lash out at others, blaming everyone for what they are personally causing in their own lives to happen by their own choices. They blame others because they can't see. It's their choices. It's them because they chose to walk in darkness. And they become jealous and envious of those who get brighter and brighter, not realizing you chose to walk in darkness. You chose not to walk in light. They stumble in the workplace. They stumble in their relationships. They stumble in their families. They stumble and their communities, bumped and bruised, yet often ending their days sitting in darkness. The darkness of their choices, each night, with their hearts stewing with blame, thinking someone else has done me wrong. Today's wisdom moment, Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked, the one who chooses to walk in darkness, is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Well, God bless. We've come to the end of the extra hour. What a wonderful time we had today. Don't forget, 24/7 VFN Radio. You can catch the highlights and see us on the VFN Torch. God bless. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you tomorrow. VFN Radio.